We're very blessed today to have Brother James Scott. I love to tell this because it's true. When we went to Wyoming several years ago on a mission trip, I had no earthly idea I was going to come away from that trip with a lifelong friend. And so I'm so thankful that James is here today. He's been here many times, and he is going to share God's word with us today. So we're very happy to have you. So Brother James, would you come and share the word with us at this time?
Well, it's an honor, it's a blessing to be able to be behind a pulpit and share the Word of God. I will say this, where's Ryan at? Ryan right there. Listen, if I had Toby Mac's phone number, I would call him and say, dude, listen, if you need an intro act, that was epic. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but if you appreciate your praise and worship band, give them a little love this morning. They did an awesome, awesome job. I don't know how many times I've been here, several times. And I had a guy the other day, don't take this wrong like this guy told me. He says, I just want you to know, I've heard you before, and you're just getting better. This is the best you've ever sounded. And I'm saying that to you, but in a good way, you know. It was great. It's just awesome they'll come and lead us in worship like that. You know, here's the other thing I need to say. I've been here, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. Every time I come here, I tell you that I'm married. And I tell you that I have a beautiful wife back home. So this trip, we started out on the trip together. I was bringing my wife. And Brother Jeff was so excited because my wife has never been to this church. Well, I had to call Brother Jeff a couple weeks ago and explain to him that even though we started out on this 2-month journey together, my wife flew home the other day. So I had to come and had lunch with Jeff and did a couple other things. But we have sold our house back home. So my wife flew home to take care of all of the details. So just so you do know, I don't have an internet wife that is made up. I really, truly do have a beautiful wife who is not here today. And my brother Jeff can hopefully attest to that. But So, you know, coming over, but you've seen the truth. And she's actually stayed at Brother Jeff's, just not been able to get to the church. But you know, there's a song that has been playing on Christian radio today, and I got to speak early this morning at Scotty Cooper's church over at Mount Olive, and I'm singing that song today. I'm a great singer to myself. That's about as far as my singing expertise goes, but it starts off as I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. So I'm singing that song because, I mean, that's like my anthem. That's kind of like, that's who I am. We get there, and Scotty Cooper's wife says, I heard a song the other day that reminded me of Brother James. And she gets up there, and she sung that song. And I said, Donna, that's the first time I've heard that song in church. But I just want you sometime today, I want you to think about just that opening line. Because that's all we are. We're just a nobody trying to tell somebody about, or trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved our soul. Praise God for that. This morning, I'm going to jump right into it. If I ask the question, what is a parable? You know, we read about parables, but it's not really a word that you and I define on an everyday kind of a basis. So the word parable literally means something that's cast alongside something else. Jesus' parables were stories that were cast alongside a truth in order to illustrate that truth. So a common description would be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We know that Christ used over 50, in the Gospels, he used over 50 different parables. He used something that people would know, something that people would understand. And then we put a spiritual twist on that. So today it's going to be a vivid message. But I need, is there anybody in here that likes to garden? I mean, who is like the master gardener? Right there. Man, what is the very best thing about gardening?
Bringing life,
okay. What's the worst thing about gardening?
Weeds.
Right? I mean, listen, what would happen if we just did not pull the weeds?
Wouldn't get anything.
They die, right? We choke out the life. So, the same thing that goes with our life. If you and I don't cultivate ourselves, if we're not spending time in the Word, if we're not hanging out with like-minded believers, and we're doing things that all the other lost and unsaved people are doing, guess what? We're going to end eventually kind of look like the same kind of people. So, we use an earthly story, and then we put a spiritual twist on that. See, I see it no different than when you and I are on the street or at a gas station or grocery store or at a school or at your job when we're trying to witness to people. You know, here's I just did this little common dialogue between me and another guy, and I'm just going to be me and that other guy. But simple conversation like this. Hey, man, how you doing? Good. How about you? I'm not doing too bad. You doing anything exciting today? Well, no, not really. Well, I guess I'm going to a funeral later today. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Hey, can I ask you a question? If that was your funeral, do you know where you would have spent your eternity? Do you see how in the course of about 15 or 20 seconds, we just went from regular everyday talk to we're fixing to get into the nuts and bolts of where your eternity would be? See, I believe for us believers, it's of great importance for us to be able to turn that conversation to a spiritual conversation. Think about it for a second. Does the weather really matter? And I wrote this in Wyoming, so I understand y'all have tornadoes down here, right? So sometimes the weather does matter. So I can give you a little slide on that, okay? But how about this one? Are the fish really biting? Is that really of a great importance to most of us? Probably not. How big was your trophy buck? How many points did it have? Here's a big one from the South. How many points did your team win by? Okay. See, all of that stuff is just conversation. But can any of that stuff lead any person to the Lord? No, right? So then you say, and here's a cop-out. Well, I don't really like to talk to people. Listen, did anybody in here talk to a stranger this week about the weather? Or about fishing? Or about hunting? Or how much you might hate Alabama? Or how much you love Mississippi? You see, we've all had these conversations. We have them with complete strangers, but yet we cannot have a conversation that talks about the Lord of our lives, the Savior of our soul. See, we've got to get our priorities turned back around here at some point. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, I believe it's a pretty knowledgeable story. I think you're going to know it. Luke chapter 15, 1 to 7. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors, and together he says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for the day. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity, God, to hear your word, to preach your word. I pray, Father, that it will not fall on deaf ears today. I pray, God, that if there's somebody in here today, that God, that maybe they're that one, maybe that's the one we're talking about, God, that one will get found. Father, you do what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First off, we see these tax collectors and these Pharisees, they didn't really put themselves into the sinner category. I think they missed Romans 3:23 somehow. But look what they say about Jesus. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Can you see the hope that you and I should have in that verse? I hate to let you down, but you have a sinner today preaching to you the good news of Jesus Christ. But this sinner has been redeemed. See, at one point in my life, I give my whole heart, my whole life to Christ. I ask Him to forgive me of everything that I've ever done. And because of that grace, because of that redemption, because he's called me to preach, this is what I get to do. And I find great pleasure knowing that this hope that we have in Jesus, that he will someday eat with us. Could you imagine for just a second, sitting down at a table with Jesus, amen, having a hamburger and fries, and Jesus says, James, can you pass me the ketchup? I mean, I'm going to go over there like this. Here, brother, I can't call him brother. I don't know what. Hey, Jesus, can I put your ketchup on your fries for you? I mean, can you imagine what that's going to look like and feel like, that he will welcome us in his sight? Somebody asked me one time, what's the first thing you ever say to the Lord? I probably won't say nothing. What are you going to say? You're going to cry like a little baby. Praising the Lord. I mean, I can't even fathom what it might look like. I saw a picture the other day, and it said day one in heaven, and it had a Jesus and a lady, and they ran, and this lady, I thought she was going to pop Jesus' head off because she was squeezing him so tight. Think about that, day number one in heaven. So it's great, brings me great joy knowing that our God chooses to hang out with people like me and people like you. And then we got to realize something else. You realize that Jesus does not need us. Anybody remember? You know that? He does not need us. But he wants us. Amen. We are the ones that need him. We need him and he wants us. That's an amazing kind of relationship. This parable to me has always made a lot of sense to a degree. Any farmers in here? I can't say ranchers, but any farmers. I know we're about to have at least one new farmer one of these days, right? So let me tell you something. Let's just pretend here for a minute that I've got 100 head of mama cows. Where I live, 100 head of mama cows, we're going to feed those through the winter, and we're going to calve them out. And let's just say that those 100 head of mama cows calve out, and I have 100 baby calves. I'm excited. Okay? This is what we do. Now, we're going to brand those 100 head of baby calves in the springtime, because that's what we have to do. And then as soon as green grass gets there, we're going to take those 100 head of mama cows and 100 baby calves, and we're going to take them to summer pasture in hopes that over the course of the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to put a couple pounds a day. So maybe another 3 year meal, maybe if it's a good year, another 400 pounds on those calves. Okay? So now, in the fall time, maybe a month ago, or, you know, between now and a month ago, me and some of my buddies, we're going to get on our ponies, and we're going to go back out to wherever we are, and we're going to gather those same head of mama cows and calves. Let's just say that I got 100 cows and 5,000 acres, okay? I mean, I probably got 100 cows on, say, 1,000 acres. Let's say it like that. So I go out, and we go out, and we gather up that pasture, and we bring them all in. So we get them in there, we do a corral or a sorting place, and we sort off those 100 head of mama cows. Well, I got 100 head. So now I get over and I count my calves. And let's just say that I've got 99 calves out of 100. Woo! Praise the Lord! That just means that I got a 99% calf crop. Okay? You follow me? I am excited. In fact, I can guarantee this. My wife and I, we are going out for ribeye steaks that night because we got a 99% calf crop. See, I'm going to write off that one calf to sickness or to coyotes or to wolves or to lions or whatever it might have been that tried to kill my livestock that year, okay? Because that's the way that I think. I'm not going to go back out and go ride 1,000 acres or 2,000 or 5,000 acres looking for one critter. We just don't simply do it like that. But there's this thing in the Bible, this verse, Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." He doesn't think like us. We don't think like him. So what does he do? He gathers up the sheep. He realizes that he's just one short. And so he leaves the 99. Now, you realize there's power in that number, right? It feels good when you're with 99 same kind of people. You know, I thought about like this. If I had 10 people all wanting to share the gospel, we could walk up to one random person on the street and we could all do a pretty good job sharing our faith. But what if I just sent one of you out there? You're going to stumble and talk about the weather, right? We understand that. That's how it works sometimes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says two are better than one. And a cord of three is not quickly broken. There's power in those numbers. See, if I got 99 sheep over here, the coyotes aren't going to bother them. But if I got one sheep over here, guess what? Guess what's for supper? Lamb chops. See? That's the difference between one and a 99. So, he leaves those 99. See, that way of thinking doesn't really make sense to us. But if you're a born-again believer in this room here today, you were at one time that one. Think about it. See, you just didn't come out being part of the 99. You had to get found. So he leaves the 99 to go and find you and chase you down and make himself known to me and to you. Now, my friends, it's called agape love. Love that only God the Father can have towards you, towards his sheep. Then we read in verse 4 that he doesn't stop looking for him until he's found. That is profound because, listen, let's just say I needed some miles on my pony. I might go ride that pasture to look for that one. But God ain't like that. He realizes he's one short and he goes back out. See, our God is continually making himself known to you and to me. Until we finally have no other choice but to say, yes, Lord. I believe, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I repent, Lord. I am selling out to you, Lord. That's what he is waiting on from me and from you. I need a volunteer. I need a dude bigger than me. Thank you, Marshall. So Jesus finds his lost sheep. See, if I went out there and found my lost calf or my lost sheep, you and I would get in a pickup or a four-wheeler or a side-by-side or a pony or whatever, and we would go and we would herd that sheep back to the herd. But that ain't what Jesus does. Jesus comes down there and finds that lost sheep, and this is what he does. He gets on his back, and Jesus carries him back to the 99. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. He carries us back to the 99. This is why you and I, we have never carried Christ. Christ is always the one that carries us. You and I have said sometimes, well, I'm sorry, I've let God down. Listen, you've never let God down because you were never strong enough to carry God. He is the one that is always the one that carries you and me. Doesn't matter where. He's the one always carrying us. Then what does it say? We're fixing to have a party. That's what it says. He says he calls his friends and he calls his neighbors. Says, rejoice with me, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. You all think about something. Here's another. I need not a volunteer, but I need you to respond to this. Is there anybody in this room that has ever spent over 10 years of their life praying for somebody's soul to be saved? Raise your hand if you've ever prayed over 10 years. 20 years. I got a four-year-old in the back. 25, 30 years, 40 years, 50, over 50 years. Could you imagine? Brother, I've forgotten your name. What is it? Billy. Johnny calls Billy on a Sunday afternoon, Says, Billy, I got some news for you. I want you to know I got saved today at church. Do you not think Billy is going to be so excited he can't wait to tell the entire world that for 50 years he's been praying for this man and God answered his prayer? Are you not going to be excited, brother? Excited is not even the right word. So you and I should be excited when the lost get found. I mean, listen, I was excited when I got found. Y'all ought to be excited when you got found. We ought to be excited when anybody gets found. I mean, that's an eternal address change. That is something to be excited about. Whew. Let's talk about sheep for a moment. Anybody else in here just cringe when the Lord calls you and me sheep? Now listen, y'all, where I live, a sheep is known for one thing. A sheep is just born to die. They come out of their mama and they're just dead. That's what they look like, right? Now a calf, on the other hand, he comes out of mama in 15 minutes. He's on his little four legs trying to find where the milk comes from. And the sheep's still over there laying there halfway dead. Okay? And look, that's what, and never, we were never really referred to as a calf. I mean, there was a golden calf one time. That was bad, right? Okay? So I don't know about this cowboy thing now. Now the more I think about this. But let's just see what the Lord says about these sheep. First off, they're one of the very few animals that do not have a defense system. They are absolutely helpless without a shepherd. So when I thought about that, there was a psalm that came to my mind. Psalm what? 23. The Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Be in want. You see, without the Lord, our shepherd, we are helpless when the enemy attacks. It's not if, it's when. We know that, right? It's when the enemy attacks. You see, you and I, we need a shepherd 24 hours a day. And if you were anybody in here who was like me, sometimes you might need a shepherd 25 hours out of 24. You understand what I'm saying by that, okay? We need a shepherd every day, every hour, every minute. Secondly, sheep are notorious for following the leader, regardless of how dangerous or foolish it might look like. See, sheep, like sheep, human beings, where it can be extremely gullible when an attractive or a charismatic leader comes by with a brand new shiny idea and kind of shakes it in front of us. See, the Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. The Bible needs to be reread. Does that make sense? You see, if Christ called it sin 2,000 years ago, it's going to be sin today. It was sin yesterday. It's going to be sin tomorrow. You see, us humans, we have the authority to change some laws. If we don't like the speed limit, let's change it. We can do that, right? If we don't like this or we don't like that, we can do that. But you and I, we don't have the authority, we don't have the power to change what sin was. If it was sin then, it's sin today, plain and simple. But yet we got people trying to change all of that stuff, right? We don't have that authority on this earth. That is God's authority. Before you were saved, you most likely didn't have a shepherd shepherding you. Because if you had a shepherd shepherding you, you probably wouldn't have got in some of the places you and I have been before, correct? I thought about where my God had to chase me. And it embarrasses me where I took him sometimes. But he didn't stop. He didn't stop at the door of whatever. He just came on in and stood there continually waiting for me to say yes to him. That is why we need that shepherd. That shepherd's name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Thirdly, human beings are compared to sheep in the Bible because they are prone to wander away from the flock. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way." You see, a sheep's only chance of survival is to be under the care of a competent shepherd. But you know, these sheep, sometimes they become rebellious and overconfident, and distracted and they wander away and they fail to see that the herd moved this way and they're still sitting over here, which is exactly what you and I look like sometimes. Rather than going where we should be going, we kind of go off by ourselves. I mean, how many times did James think back in the day, wow, that grass sure is greener on the other side. But after 25 years of being married, I have learned that, you know what, that grass is just as green on my side if I just chose to water it and take care of it. And then when we finally get found, we realized that the best of the best was under our noses all along. Always there. You see, God is never the one that's left us. You and I are always the one that leaves Him. So what do we take from this parable today? To leave the 99 for the one does not seem ethical unless, my friend, you are that one that God had to leave the 99 for. Like I said earlier, if you are born again, then He did leave the 99 to chase you down. You see, I have given my God many opportunities for Him to quit loving me. Yet He still loves me every single day. Amen. I gave my God many opportunities before I was saved to go away at the door of my heart. And He continually knocked on the door of my heart and never gave up. I want you to look at something. If you look at your chest right here, you realize something? There is no outside door handle. You know why? Because each one of us is the one that's got to open up the door to our life and let Him in. He stands there ever so patiently, knocking on the door of our hearts. Never forces Himself in there. It's a choice. You get to decide. You get to choose, or you get to deny. That, my friends, is up to you. We learn that 99% is not good enough for God. 99% for us is probably pretty good. In fact, if I polled all these men in here, if I got a 70% on a test score in high school, praise the Lord, there is a God, right? And the ladies are there going, I got 98%. We don't care about 98%. We couldn't get 99 if we tried, most of us guys, right? But 99 is not good enough for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He wants 100%, not only one time, He wants it all the time. He doesn't want anybody to have to choose a place called hell. Amen. There's a song on Christian radio today by the man by the name of Corey Asbury. Have you sung that song yet? Called Reckless Love. It says that Christ's love is overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Now, I want you to hear this before you get mad. He is not saying that Christ is reckless, but how He chases us sometimes may look reckless to others. And I'll explain in a second. The bridge says this: there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. The God of the Bible will search you out, make Himself known to you in such a way. There's nothing you can do to hide from Him. You cannot have done enough bad. You cannot run long enough. He's gonna outwithstand any one of us. His love is overwhelming and is never ending. And it does look reckless to people who don't know what God had to do for people like me and people like you. You think about it for a second. Go back to your lost days. Does it not look reckless for a God to love a world so much that he would send his one and only son to die for some who would never say yes to him? See, that's the part I have a hard time with. That my God did what he had to do. There's a lot of parents in here. We ought to thank our lucky stars that God did not ask us to do what he had to do. That's why what he did is unthinkable. It's unimaginable. And boy, am I ever so happy, glad that he had to do what he had to do. This love that we're talking about, we simply sometimes cannot fathom or understand it. But because of our faith, we will someday reap the benefit of an eternity in heaven for infinity times infinity times infinity. My friends, I'm not here today to wow you, woo you, make you feel good or anything like that. I'm here to preach to you the good news of Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 11 says this. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's plain and simple. If you have wandered long enough, my question is, why don't you let the shepherd take you back under his wing and give you, let him guide you into a new life with benefits that are out of this world? I'm asking you, for maybe for the first time, for you to experience what this overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God looks like and feels like. October 8th, 1871. Does that ring a bell to anybody in this room? October 8th, 1871. An evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody preached his heart out to a congregation just like this. And as he got done, he told them all about the gospel and told them why they needed Jesus. And he said, now tonight, I want you to go home and I want you to think about if you need this Jesus I'm telling you about. I already know that you need him. And if you don't have him, I want you to come back tomorrow. And we're going to get things right. We're going to pray. We're going to invite this Jesus Christ into your lives. But I want you to go and think about it. October 8th, 1871, the night of the Great Chicago Fires. Some of those people in that congregation that night never came back. D.L. Moody would go on to say that was the biggest regret of his life. He gave people what they needed. And he sent them home to think about if that's what they wanted to choose or not choose. And I thought about it. I'm going to learn from D.L. Moody's misfortune that night. So this morning, I don't know what everybody's status is. But I'm convinced of this. You know. You know very well if you're saved or if you're not saved. I don't know it. Brother Jeff don't know it. But you know and God knows. So this morning I'm going to ask you that if you have never trusted Christ with your life, if you've never surrendered your entire life to him, if you've played church for 50 years and you've never received the absolute best free gift of salvation, then I'm going to ask that you come in just a few moments. Because I don't want anybody to ever experience what this hell, like what the Bible talks about, I don't want you to ever have to experience that. But y'all, I want you to know something. There is only one way to heaven. There's not 15 ways. There's not 20 ways. There's not 10 ways. There's not even 2 ways. Amen. Jesus says, I am the way, Amen. The truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this morning, I'm going to pray in just a moment. Brian, if you want to bring your team back up. Brother Jeff, you want to come up here? I'm going to pray. invitation is real simple. If you have never trusted Christ and you would like to know for sure, I'm talking about beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you're old enough to make a decision, you're old enough to make that decision. And for the others who are saved, maybe you've left that 99 for a while. Maybe God's got to go where God's got to go to get you and wield you back into that 99. Maybe you just need to come and get something off your chest here this morning. You got a beautiful altar to do that with. But I'm going to pray. And then you pray and see what the Lord's going to have you do here this morning. Let me pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, so much for this time, this opportunity. Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, that if there's a one in here or a two or a three, Father, don't let them leave here today, God, without choosing you first. God, we know. We know if we're right with you. Lord, I thought I was right for a long time, even though I knew I wasn't. So, God, I pray, Father, for the one who's here tonight, that, Lord, you would give them the power, give them the courage, Father, to come and receive the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And, Father, for the man or the woman who is struggling, don't matter what it is, God, all I know is you're bigger than that struggle. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would move in their heart, into their life, to come and lay whatever it is, Lord, that's bothering them, whatever it is that they're running from or running to, that, Lord, they would come and bring that to the altar here this morning. Father, I am more than grateful. And God, I'm sorry, Lord, where you had to chase me. But God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you would chase somebody like me and bring me into your kingdom. So, Father, you do what only you can do right here, right now. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You stand to your feet. As we sing, this is your time. You want to pray? Let's pray. If you just want to come and kneel and lay something down at the altar, this is your time. You come. The invitation is open. that song. And he says, you surrender all. I don't know that many people in here. I don't know what your status is. But I know one time I had a conversation with a man. And he told me he was 97% saved, and I believe that. But I want you to know something. 97% saved means you're 3% lost. And that's the part you got to focus on. See, if you've not truly 100% wholeheartedly everything you got given to the Lord, you're still living for yourself. And I can preach like that because, golly, that was me for a whole lot of years. It was all about me. And now, today, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. Brother Jeff, that's probably going to be my next sermon because I love what that talks about. Because that's all we are. None of us getting out of this life alive. But, I mean, we talk about going to a father's house. Can you just imagine what it's going to be like the first day you get there? You can't. You can't imagine it unless you're ready to go there. So I just pray. I pray that God is going to use this message to speak to somebody. Father, and if it's not even for, maybe it's not for you, but I know this. We all got a one in our life. Some of us have twos. Some of us have threes and fours and five people around us that are not saved. Like God asked me one time, what are you going to do about it? Don't tell him nothing. That's the wrong answer. Might be an honest answer, but that's not the right answer. So I just challenge you that you do whatever God lays on your heart to do. He'll absolutely change everything about you. There's nothing better than serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you again for letting me come and share with you all what God's laid on my heart. I'm going to turn back over to Brother Jeff. Thank you.
Well, amen. Thank you, James. We are going to take up a love offering for Brother James. We all know this. Ministry costs money. And so James serves in a very difficult place and has a very difficult ministry. And before we do that, I just want to add one thing. You know, at the end of that verse, at the very end, it said, and the just who don't need to repent. And what was interesting to me about that is, in the context in which that's written, the just are the ones out looking for the sheep in that context. And, you know, we're not going to do another verse in the invitation, but I bet if we use that for the standard of what just is, I bet this altar would be full. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's not call ourselves something that the Bible doesn't call us. Now, at this time, we're going to have mushers in the back when we get ready to go. We're going to be able to be a blessing to James and his ministry. And he's got a long way to go. You have been gone. By the time you get back home, you will have been gone 2 months. Is that right? So we know that we want to be a blessing to him, and we want to be able to send him off with a wonderful love offering, because all we're going to do is get him to the next church. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be a blessing to them, get them to the next church. I know I will be giving, and I want to encourage you to do the same. Brother Wallace is going to make the announcement about our Sunday school class for this week, for this month, and then he's going to close us out with prayer. So, Brother Wallace, would you do that at this time, please?
Well, it's the first of the month again, and but now it's a leading Sunday school class. The Sunday school class with the best record for last month was Mr. Bill's class, who is being temporarily taught by Miss Myra. Well, Miss Myra had to leave just before church, so a senior member of that Sunday school class is Mr. Billy Vandever. Would you come take it? Trophy for your class today. Let's give him a big hand. Work hard for this trophy. Would you lead us in prayer for dismissal?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Father God. We thank you for those who came, Father God, but there's others Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll understand and we will repent. Lord God, even we who know you, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll understand that we have to repent and come back to you. And Father God, I pray that you'll bless each and every one that's represented here today. I pray, Father God, for the ministry. I pray for your work in this church all over the world, Father God. I just pray in Jesus' name, Father God, that the lost will be saved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And the sun gets no rest.